English Listening Comprehension Test, Autumn 2015, Advanced Level. This test is in six parts. Part 6 has separate directions. In parts 1 through 5, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear part 1 twice. In this part, you will hear a podcast presentation. First, listen to it straight through.
Hello, my name is Sarah Derber, and welcome to Troppy Fresh Online. We're a fruit and vegetable wholesaler with a big warehouse at New Spitalfields Market. I work alongside my father, George. Working with him is in many ways a blessing. I don't have to climb my way up the career ladder, and I have guaranteed job security. But it's also harder than working elsewhere, because I have more to prove. There are 10 employees, but there's more attention on me as the boss's daughter, and I have the double pressure of trying to please my boss and my father. When I was a kid, my dad would leave the house at 1 a.m. and not return until 4 p.m. I never really understood what he did in his secret job. Now that I work for him, I feel like I've been let into the family secret. My father still works the same hours today. I come into work a little later, at 5 a.m, but spend the first 3 hours of the day selling to customers on the shop floor. The rest of the day I work on accounts and on our new website, which I set up when I joined the business. My father and I make a good team. We're able to tell it like it is to each other, in a way that people in normal boss-employee relationships can't. We can cross those boundaries and hash out issues. Having said that, we rarely argue. However, if ever I have an idea about the business generally, I have to fight harder and louder than in my previous job to get him to listen to me. He knows me inside out. I was 25 when I decided to join the family business. In fact, I didn't want to join Troppy Fresh without some sense of what is expected in the corporate world first, to bring a fresh set of skills and experience along. After completing my geography degree, I worked in PR for a while. But it was during university that I developed a real interest in the business, because I worked part-time for my father to earn some much-needed money. I eventually went on some business trips with him and realised that the more I was exposed to the business, the more I loved it. I hope to take over Troppy Fresh one day. My loyalty is to the business rather than my father. He was actually surprised that I wanted to join, but now it's up to me to make it work.
Now listen to the same podcast presentation in three sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
Hello, my name is Sarah Derber, and welcome to Troppy Fresh Online. We're a fruit and vegetable wholesaler with a big warehouse at New Spitalfields Market. I work alongside my father, George. Working with him is in many ways a blessing. I don't have to climb my way up the career ladder, and I have guaranteed job security. But it's also harder than working elsewhere, because I have more to prove. There are 10 employees, but there's more attention on me as the boss's daughter, and I have the double pressure of trying to please my boss and my father. When I was a kid, my dad would leave the house at 1 a.m. and not return until 4 p.m. I never really understood what he did in his secret job. Now that I work for him, I feel like I've been let into the family secret.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
My father still works the same hours today. I come into work a little later, at 5 a.m., but spend the first 3 hours of the day selling to customers on the shop floor. The rest of the day I work on accounts and on our new website, which I set up when I joined the business. My father and I make a good team. We're able to tell it like it is to each other, in a way that people in normal boss-employee relationships can't. We can cross those boundaries and hash out issues. Having said that, we rarely argue. However, if ever I have an idea about the business generally, I have to fight harder and louder than in my previous job to get him to listen to me. He knows me inside out.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
I was 25 when I decided to join the family business. In fact, I didn't want to join Troppy Fresh without some sense of what is expected in the corporate world first, to bring a fresh set of skills and experience along. After completing my geography degree, I worked in PR for a while. But it was during university that I developed a real interest in the business, because I worked part-time for my father to earn some much-needed money. I eventually went on some business trips with him and realised that the more I was exposed to the business, the more I loved it. I hope to take over Troppy Fresh one day. My loyalty is to the business rather than my father. He was actually surprised that I wanted to join, but now it's up to me to make it work.
Answer questions 5 and 6. This is the second part of the test. You will hear this discussion twice. Listen to this part straight through.
Good morning. This is Michelle Barnes. I'm here with Sam Nelson discussing a recent piece of news.
Yes, Michelle. This is a story that went viral in a few days.
To put it briefly, a report published Monday in the Laurel Leader Call claims that a TV report about a disfigured 3-year-old being asked to leave a fast food restaurant was not at all true. The restaurant chain said it was investigating the claim that the child was asked to leave because her face was scaring other customers. The restaurant also promised $30,000 toward the child's recovery, regardless of the outcome of their investigation. The allegation was first made public on her aunt's Facebook page after the girl was attacked by pit bull dogs at her grandfather's home.
And so many people are writing on the net that they will never again set foot in any of that restaurant chain's locations. And the family has hired a lawyer to sue the restaurant. And this is where the inconsistencies in the story come in.
The restaurant location where this was supposed to have happened had been closed for many years, and a thorough check of the videotapes from all the restaurants in the area did not show the little girl entering any of them.
And now, after investigating the matter, the Laurel Leader Call writes that the entire story was made up. This was done by the family to defraud the public of more than $200,000 in cash, as well as gifts and free surgeries.
And it's this sweet little girl who suffers in all this tragedy.
Now listen to the same discussion in two sections. Look at questions 7 and 8.
Good morning. This is Michelle Barnes. I'm here with Sam Nelson discussing a recent piece of news.
Yes, Michelle. This is a story that went viral in a few days.
To put it briefly, a report published Monday in the Laurel Leader Call claims that a TV report about a disfigured 3-year-old being asked to leave a fast food restaurant was not at all true. The restaurant chain said it was investigating the claim that the child was asked to leave because her face was scaring other customers. The restaurant also promised $30,000 toward the child's recovery, regardless of the outcome of their investigation. The allegation was first made public on her aunt's Facebook page after the girl was attacked by pit bull dogs at her grandfather's home.
Answer questions 7 and 8, then look at questions 9 and 10.
And so many people are writing on the net that they will never again set foot in any of that restaurant chain's locations. And the family has hired a lawyer to sue the restaurant. And this is where the inconsistencies in the story come in.
The restaurant location where this was supposed to have happened had been closed for many years, and a thorough check of the videotapes from all the restaurants in the area did not show the little girl entering any of them.
And now, after investigating the matter, the Laurel Leader Call writes that the entire story was made up. This was done by the family to defraud the public of more than $200,000 in cash, as well as gifts and free surgeries.
And it's this sweet little girl who suffers in all this tragedy.
Answer questions 9 and 10. This is the third part of the test. You will hear a lecture twice. First, listen to it straight through.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ann Bergman, and this morning I'm going to talk about Freakonomics. Now, don't worry, we're not jumping into economics theory. After all, the famous economist Thomas Sowell said that Freakonomics is not about economics, but about applying systematic reasoning to all sorts of social problems. That's what I'll stick to. In Freakonomics, you're asked to look at the world in a different way. Conventional wisdom is often wrong. The problem is that it tends to shout louder than unconventional wisdom. For example, in regard to all sorts of problems, the newspapers shout that we need more rules. But in reality, a carrot works better than a stick in society. Let me quote Albert Einstein. Everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. Before we can achieve that, we must first admit our ignorance. The three hardest words in the English language are not, as previously thought, I love you, but I don't know. People hate saying these words, and the higher they climb up the ladder of power, the less likely they are to say them. Admitting I don't know seems to make it easier to come up with clever solutions. There was a Japanese man who entered the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. He ate twice as many hot dogs as anyone before. How? By dropping the hot dogs under the table? No, not at all. But by eating the sausage and the bread separately. No one had ever thought of doing that. Freakonomics also looks for the hidden meanings behind stories. Back in the 1980s, when the band Van Halen went on tour, each arena would be sent a 53-page booklet with technical specifications plus food requirements. On page 40 was the candy section. It demanded crackers and nuts, as well as M&Ms with all the brown ones taken out. Egos gone mad, everyone said. Van Halen's live show was a huge set, state-of-the-art, but many arenas were outdated, and when they arrived, the band would immediately check the candy bowl. If they saw brown M&Ms, they would know the arena promoter hadn't read the booklet carefully, so they would have to do a detailed technical check to ensure the right equipment was in place. It was a trick, and a very effective one.
Now listen to the same lecture in three sections. Look at questions 11 and 12.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ann Bergman, and this morning I'm going to talk about Freakonomics. Now, don't worry, we're not jumping into economics theory. After all, the famous economist Thomas Sowell said that Freakonomics is not about economics, but about applying systematic reasoning to all sorts of social problems. That's what I'll stick to. In Freakonomics, you're asked to look at the world in a different way. Conventional wisdom is often wrong. The problem is that it tends to shout louder than unconventional wisdom. For example, in regard to all sorts of problems, the newspapers shout that we need more rules. But in reality, a carrot works better than a stick in society.
Answer questions 11 and 12. Look at questions 13 and 14.
Let me quote Albert Einstein. Everything should be made as simple as possible, but not simpler. Before we can achieve that, we must first admit our ignorance. The three hardest words in the English language are not, as previously thought, I love you, but I don't know. People hate saying these words, and the higher they climb up the ladder of power, the less likely they are to say them. Admitting, "I don't know," seems to make it easier to come up with clever solutions. There was a Japanese man who entered the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. He ate twice as many hot dogs as anyone before. How? By dropping the hot dogs under the table? No, not at all. But by eating the sausage and the bread separately. No one had ever thought of doing that.
Answer questions 13 and 14, then look at questions 15 and 16.
Freakonomics also looks for the hidden meanings behind stories. Back in the 1980s, when the band Van Halen went on tour, each arena would be sent a 53-page booklet with technical specifications plus food requirements. On page 40 was the candy section. It demanded crackers and nuts, as well as M&Ms with all the brown ones taken out. "Ego's gone mad," everyone said. Van Halen's live show was a huge set, state-of-the-art, but many arenas were outdated, and when they arrived, the band would immediately check the candy bowl. If they saw brown M&Ms, they would know the arena promoter hadn't read the booklet carefully, so they would have to do a detailed technical check to ensure the right equipment was in place. It was a trick, and a very effective one.
Answer questions 15 and 16. This is the fourth part of the test. You will hear some short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 17.
Did you see the news about the man who was blown out of his boots by lightning?
Out of his boots? And he's still alive?
Yes, he's okay, although he was kept in the hospital overnight while doctors got his heart back to beating normally.
Well, what happened?
Well, it says here he was outside doing garden work on a perfectly sunny day. He was carrying a shovel across his driveway when the lightning struck. It threw him across the driveway. When he looked back to where he'd been walking, he saw his boots were smoking. So he pulled out his phone, and he took a video of his boots to send to his wife. You can see it right here on the site.
Move over. Let me see it.
Answer question 17. Look at question 18.
Did you see on the net what happened to students in the entrance exam for English at Cambridge University?
No, did a bunch of them fail or something?
When they opened their exam booklets, there was a poem that didn't have any words at all. The poem was made up entirely of brackets, quotation marks, exclamation marks, and question marks. That's a real poem, and they had to analyse it for an exam.
Well, that doesn't sound fair.
I'll say. One young lady said she was struggling to find words to express her outrage at being given this poem to analyse in an exam.
Answer question 18, then look at question 19.
Zach, here's an irritating bit of news. Our own mayor, Dennis Neer, was captured on film tossing a bag of dog poop onto a neighbor's property.
You must be kidding.
No, the neighbor has it all on his home surveillance video. The mayor has apologized, says he just made a mistake, didn't notice where he was throwing the bag. But the neighbor says it's payback for opposing the mayor. The mayor had said he would get his revenge. Anyway, the police say they're still investigating the matter.
And all this over some dog waste.
Answer question 19, look at question 20.
Did you see what John put on his Facebook? The pub in the village of Findon is being closed down. It's being turned into a funeral parlour.
Yeah, I looked at the link. It's the last pub left in a small village of 1,500 people. To think that it would be taken over by a funeral service. Well, they've started to fight to get it back. Every village needs its own pub.
And a lot of people who've just moved into the area are protesting, saying the village is no longer the traditional English village they were looking for when they bought property in the village.
And they have a point. Did you notice the campaign to restore the pub is called Casks or Caskets?
Well, I don't think that slogan will catch on.
Answer question 20. This is the fifth part of the test. In this part, you will hear six short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 21.
Demonstrations can sometimes get ugly. But that demonstration in front of City Hall yesterday was quite different. It was perfectly peaceful and orderly.
You know, it's not every day you see a group of pensioners demonstrating for better bus service, for easy access buses, for wheelchairs and those with walkers, and more buses in the north part of town. You know, I quite agree with them.
And I noticed there were plenty of people in the demonstration in wheelchairs and with walkers. And everyone was so friendly.
Answer question 21, then look at question 22.
Jane, would you be willing to sell me your car?
Why? What for?
I really need an affordable car right now. I've just got a new job, and I'll have to drive 15 miles each day. I can't get there on my bike.
Well, I can understand your problem.
So, could you help me out?
Answer question 22. Look at question 23.
Thanks for watching the marathon with me.
My pleasure. You know, those athletes had incredible stamina.
Absolutely. They looked like they sprinted the entire distance. I couldn't run 100 yards that fast.
Me neither. They looked human but ran like unstoppable machines. They were just like out of a science fiction film.
Answer question 23, then look at question 24.
And I think you know, we made a really bad mistake last week. Sherry is really upset.
I know, and she's been a friend so long. We should have invited her to our party. We really should have.
Answer question 24. Look at question 25.
I've heard something about Bob. He's apparently having trouble in medical school.
Well, that's old news. What you heard was that he was in difficulty. Actually, he's dropped out now.
Oh, really?
Answer question 25, then look at question 26.
Sammy has gone through quite a bit recently.
I'll say. His girlfriend dumped him, he's not doing well in school, and I think he has a flu or something.
That's probably just from the shock of his girlfriend leaving him. But he needs to talk to us. Well, to someone.
Yeah, Sammy's not doing himself a service by playing the typical silent male, you know, stoic type.
Answer question 26. This is the sixth part of the test. There are 5 sections. Each section is a separate announcement. You will hear each section once, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A. Listen to this section and then answer the question.
Attention. Please note that this train will not stop at the next station. Customers are reminded that smoking is not permitted anywhere on the London Underground.
Read question B. Question B. Listen to this section and then answer the question.
Welcome to the Royal Institute of British Architects website, the UK's professional body for architecture and the architectural profession. We provide support for our over 40,000 members worldwide, and we set standards for the education of architects, in other words, professional objectives. These are applied both in the UK and overseas. We see these two things as our main tasks.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section and then answer the question.
In a way, it's a dead end. The government takes the view that children must start learning as soon as possible if they are to survive in our competitive world. However, many primary school teachers feel that there is an overemphasis on learning at too young an age. Now there is an alternative being offered to this deadlock.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section and then answer the question.
California is having a record year for honey production. Just 5 years ago, the beekeepers lost half of their beehives to a cyclical problem, colony collapse disorder. And now that's well and good behind them. This record production comes at just the right time as retail prices have been climbing due to a tighter world honey supply. So the bee farmers are really pleased.
Read question E. Question E, listen to this section and then answer the question.
I think I'll go to work for this company. Riot Games, a video games company, pays an unhappy employee up to $25,000 to quit, even if he's only just been recruited. Riot Games wants to cut ties with a newly appointed staff member if the employee, not the company, quickly decides he's inappropriate for the position. This must be taken up by the employee within 60 days of employment.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet, your name and number, and the name and number of your school. In addition, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.